And today I've entitled the preaching, Fear God Alone. And as all of us are aware of, in today's coronavirus situations, many conversations start in somehow in relation to that. And it doesn't matter if you're going for a dentist appointment or if you're going to meet up with friends or family or going to work, a lot of the conversations are surrounded by that subject. And oftentimes it has to do with fear, it has to do with anxiety, it has to do with not knowing how long it's going to stay or even how it's going to affect the economy, how it is already affecting people's work. And so people are worried, people are afraid, and they wonder how is things going to turn out. And often, in the same way for us as Christians, we can be challenged as well to have the temptation to allow fear to come in and allow fear to control our actions, allow fear to control our thinking, so that it kind of becomes the same way that we see in other people's lives. We start to behave in the same way. We start to think in the same way. But it's so important for us as believers to realize and understand that the Bible says, at least it is said that it says at least 365 times, do not fear. So for every day of the year, we are told not to fear. There is never a reason to fear. It doesn't mean we don't take precautions. It doesn't mean that we behave stupidly and we do different things, you know, because we are thinking we are not fearful. Of course, we should take precautionary measures and we should not act out of stupidity. But at the same time, we are told every time, so many times in the Bible, do not fear. Time and time again, at least 365 times, one for each day, do not fear. But still, as believers, we have the tendency to experience fear. And we have the tendency to experience that when things are happening in the world, that we start to think about them, we start to meditate on them. And oftentimes we start to meditate more on them than the actual Word of God. You know, we can find ourselves scrolling through all the news. And of course, we should read through the news and we should keep updated. But sometimes we read more of that and we dwell more on that than the actual Word of God. But when it comes to the Bible, there is only one fear that we should have. And that is the fear of God. And beside that fear, there shouldn't be any other fear in our lives. But when we look at the world, we also see that the world is, or people are behaving in extreme measures. We hear about the Singaporean student that got assaulted in London because of his race. You know, we hear about things like that, that, you know, people are behaving in a very despicable manner because fear has come in and anxiety and they start to blame one another. But when it comes to our faith in God, we need to know how we are rooted in Him, how He has us in His hand, and no matter what is going to happen around us, that we know our identity in Him. You know, Psalm 111:10 speaks about that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. But the thing is that sometimes as believers, we have this idea of the fear of the Lord or the fear of God to be something that we are waiting for God to actually hit us with a coronavirus because we may have done something stupid. We may have done something outside of His will. But first and foremost, as believers, we need to know that the COVID-19 does not come from God and that God does not use that as something to teach us a lesson or teach us something. But He rather, with everything He has, wants to protect us from it. But I want us to go to Luke 12, 4-7. And I say to you, my friend, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear Him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear Him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So What Jesus is telling us is that at the end of the day, we should not fear people. You know, the disciples, they stood before the ultimate test or the ultimate thing of even having to maybe die for their faith. So they stood before the challenge, and Jesus knew that one day they may have to give up their life for their faith. And he knew the challenge of compromising. Compromising in times like that. Compromising when it comes to their identity in God. Compromising when it comes to knowing who they are and what Jesus had taught them for the time that he had been with them. But the encouragement he gives them is, don't even fear people. Don't fear those that can put your body to death. Because at the end of the day, what else can they do? You know, if that would be the case, the next thing would be that we find ourselves in heaven. We find ourselves in the glory of God. So with other words, there is no reason to fear. There is no reason to even fear death. Because at the end of the day, as a believer, we know where we are heading. We know who is going to be taking us, who is going to be welcoming us. But we need to realize what the fear of God means. Because if we think about the fear of God in the wrong manner, if the fear of God will keep us away from Him, it will be something that puts a kind of a wall between us and God. And that's not what God wants. Because time and time again in His Word, He says, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. And if you are to draw close to something that we fear, that wouldn't we are afraid of, that wouldn't be very helpful. Because something that we are afraid of, if we are afraid of heights, for example, we try to keep away from heights. If we are afraid of, you know, standing before people, we try to stay away from that as well, right? So things that we are afraid of, we try to get away from it. But the thing is that still God says, time and time again in the Bible, fear the Lord, fear God, and fear Him alone, and nothing else. If that's the only fear we are allowed to have, nothing beyond that and nothing beside that. So when it comes to the fear of God, we need to realize that the fear of God is a respect for Him. It's a commandment that also leads to obedience to Him. So it means I respect God. I realize He is a holy God. I realize He is a mighty God. I realize He is a powerful God. And ultimately, He is the judge. Ultimately, I'm going to stand before the throne of God and I'm going to be accountable for what I have done on this earth. So fearing God does not mean that I'm afraid of Him and I want to stay away from Him. Fearing God even draws me closer to Him. Fearing God means even that I desire more holiness in my life. I desire to be obedient to Him because I respect Him. I admire Him. I love Him. And at the same time, realizing that He is the holy God. And when I come into His presence, I am before the Holy of Holies. When I come before Him, when I worship Him, I'm not just worshiping anybody. I'm not just worshiping my common friend. You know, but I'm worshiping the Holy God. I'm stepping into His presence. And there should be a certain respect and reverence for who He is. But at the same time, it should not be fear that makes me think, oh no, if I come before God, He's gonna do something to me. He's gonna hit me. Or if I make a mistake, maybe God will put a challenge in my way or God will put a sickness on me. That's not the fear of God that God is after. But it's a fear of God that leads to holiness. It's a fear of God that leads to obedience. It's a fear of God that leads to I respect my God for who He is and what He has done. And I respect that He is God and I am human. So here in those verses that we just read in Luke 12, we find that Jesus calls His disciples friends. And there is a teaching that He gives to them, is that at the end of the day, we must love God. We must respect Him. We must stand before Him in awe of His greatness and never take Him for granted. knowing that He is not the source of things like this virus, or that He wants to teach us a lesson through it. But we respect Him for everything that He is. And even during times like that, if we have the fear of God in our lives, it will draw us closer to Him. It will draw us closer to His Word instead of away from Him. Because we realize that His Word is above every other word. His Word is to be more respected than anybody else's word. So if He is my source, if He is my sense of comfort, if He is the one I seek refuge from at this time, His Word will also fill my heart with faith. But if I am afraid of everything else that is happening around me, and that fear, don't misunderstand me, as human we sense fear. But the question is just, whom do I fear more? Sometimes it's about whom do I fear more as well. Does my fear of God have greater authority in my life than what I sense or what I feel around me? Or when I sense that different things are happening around me, I tend to go to that and I tend to allow my mind to wander to that and allow that to become strongholds for me. Or during that time, do I choose to go to the Word and dwell on His Word and allow His Word to become the final authority in my life? As I said, not playing stupid, not playing ignorant, but still knowing what does God say about today? Still knowing that at the end of the day, fear of man should not hold me back from even sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ during a time like that. So I think because as believers, we sometimes go into what Revelation speaks about, that we lose our first love. And we start to take God for granted. Oh, He's always there. Now it's crisis, now I go to Him. Now I need Him. Now I need His comfort. When things are going well, we tend to move, maybe we tend to get too comfortable when it comes to our life with God. But the fear of the Lord, no matter what is going on around us, no matter what is happening in the physical, will always draw us close to Him. And remind us that no matter if we have walked with Him for a while or we have walked with Him for a short time, that spark that we used to have once we gave our life to Him, that desire to know Him, that is what the fear of the Lord does in our life. It creates hunger to know Him. It creates hunger to be holy because He is holy. It creates a desire to draw close to Him and be changed and not stay the same. Amen? So fear God alone. The fear of God leads to holiness. Second Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So what is Paul saying? He connects holiness, the perfection of holiness, to fear of God. You know, sometimes the reason why we don't repent from things that we know are not right in our life is because of lack of the fear of God. Sometimes the reason we choose to continue in ungodly habits is because we lack the fear of God. We lack the respect for Him. We lack the desire to actually know Him more. And when we keep Him on a certain distance, it's easy to live our life the way that we used to, or easy to live our life according to what we desire or what we want in our fleshly behavior. But then the Bible says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And Paul is saying, having these promises, because of the promises that we have in Him, we should be walking and perfecting our holiness. So what are the promises that we have in Him? You know, the Bible was not created with chapters and verses. So when Paul is saying this at the beginning of chapter 7, it goes back to chapter 6 and verse 16 to 18. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So, based on the promises that we have in God, what were the promises? That I will dwell in them and I will walk among them. With other words, already in the Old Testament, God had promised there will come a day where I will dwell with them, I will walk among them. Jesus walked among us. And now every day we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us and walking with us every single step of our faith. Every single thing that He has called us to do, we are not on our own. He didn't leave us orphans. So one of the promises is that He has promised to be close. He has promised to be our God and that we will be His people. And not only that, He will be a father to us and we shall be His sons and daughters. So based on those promises that we have in God, that you and me, we are daughters and sons of the Most High God. He has promised to be a father. He has promised to come close. He's promised to be one among us. He's promised to send the Holy Spirit to walk with us, to lead us and guide us. And based on that very fact, He has also called us to draw close to Him. And through the drawing close to Him, there needs to be more and more of holiness in our life. As we draw close to God, the more of the fear of God will start to come up. And the more we experience that awe for who God is, that respect for who He is, we start to look inwards into our life and we start to wonder, what is it in my life that I need to put right before Him? Habits that I used to do, I may not feel as comfortable doing them any longer because the fear of the Lord, the fear of God has managed to come in a greater measure. So He has promised to be a father. He has promised that closeness. He said, hey, come, be my people. Be my children. I will be your God. I will be your father. You will be my people. You will be my sons and my daughters. But I have called you to be different from the world. I've called you not to fear the world. I've called you not to fear whatever things are happening in the world. But I have called you to fear me. And when you fear me, you desire more of me. When we fear God, we desire more of His holiness. We desire a relationship with Him that is stronger than anything anybody else can give us. So the fear of God is not the pushing away. The fear of God will lead us closer. The fear of God will bring holiness. The fear of God will bring changes. You know, sometimes we are so comfortable with staying the same, right? This is our comfort zone. We may even bring out the thought that I don't share my faith because I don't feel comfortable with it, or I don't think God has created me to do so. But at the end of the day, we need to realize that if there is a fear in our life, God wants to deal with it. And He wants to lead us to that place where we know Him more intimately than we've ever done before. You know, the more that we grow in the fear of God, the more we will be aware of what is right and wrong. Things that we were able to do before, we cannot do now with a good conscience. It even makes us to be careful about what we say. It protects us from weakening our consciousness and our moral sensitivity. And it brings us to a greater spiritual depth in God. Because when we don't live in the closeness of the relationship of God, it's easy to start to compromise. It's easy to start to feel like it's okay that I don't read the word, I don't attend church, I don't pray. But the moment we start to draw close to Him, there are things that start to come up in our lives. And there will be that challenge. And the holiness of God will also bring deliverance. Because sometimes there are things in our life, when we put them right before God, it may be areas in our lives where we have struggled, there may be things that we have been dealing with, but the moment they're put under the cross, a greater freedom will come in. Amen? Sometimes we think we're holding on to something because we think it's good for us. We think it's comforting, but we don't realize if there is something that God is dealing with within us, when we give it up, it will give even greater freedom, even greater closeness with God. Fear God alone. Meaning, don't fear the virus. Don't fear the financial difficulties. Don't fear the days ahead. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your work. Don't worry about your kids. Don't fear whatever people are saying about you or thinking about you. But fear God. Because when we fear God, we start to walk in a greater obedience and we start to walk in greater submission to Him, which will automatically lead to the many things in our life will resolve and come into the right place. So if we ask ourselves the question this morning, do I fear the Lord? Do I walk in the fear of God? Or have I come to a place where I have become comfortable? Comfortable in my faith, comfortable in my knowledge of Him. The fear of God leads to obedience. Not only does it lead to holiness, but it leads to obedience. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's will. So fear God and keeping His commandments go hand in hand. Fearing God means that I desire to do His will. Fearing God means that I desire to see what He says in His Word and live my life according to His Word. Because we can sit under the Word of God, and if we are lacking in the fear of God, there may be a direct word into our hearts, but we may just think, but no, not today. Maybe tomorrow, maybe in 2 years, maybe in 5 years, I get serious about God. I get serious about my faith. But the fear of the Lord, the more we grow in it, the more closer we draw to God, the more we're going to desire to do His will as well. Deuteronomy 10 and 12 says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God and walk in all His ways and to love Him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So what does the Lord require of you? He requires quite a lot, right? But still, it's manageable because it's not through our own strength. He requires all of us, the whole of you. That we fear Him, that we walk in all His ways, and that we love Him. That we are to serve Him with all of our hearts and with all of our souls. Do you know that the one that we fear is usually the one that we serve? The fears in our lives will usually cause the direction that we go. If there is a fear of God, then we will ask Him before we make major decisions. If there's a fear of God in our life, then we will come to Him before we start to, before we start to make a decision about a new job or moving to a new nation or whatever we feel like at this point of time, whatever options we have, with the fear of God, we will come to Him before we decide. You know, I heard this, I think it was John Bevere, one very famous speaker, international speaker. And he was talking to one person. And that person, as they were talking about the fear of God, you know, this, if I'm not mistaken, it was a minister that had compromised in his walk with God. And John Bevere asked him, what was the reason you took that side turn? I mean, when did you stop loving God, was the question. And the answer he got back was, you know what, I never stopped loving God, but I stopped fearing him. You know, I think all of us, we would say we love the Lord. But there is also another element that needed, and that is the fear of the Lord. Because with the fear of the Lord, you will go to Him before you make major business decisions. Because you know that His ways are the best ways. And you know that He will keep you astray from any compromise. Because sometimes we think something is good and we decide we're going to go that path. But God knows what is ahead of us. He knows the challenges. He knows where we might end up compromising to our faith and our life with Him. So the fear of the Lord will always go back to obedience. Lord, what do you say about it? What do you say about my life? What do you desire when it comes to my studies, when it comes to my work, when it comes to my family? The fear of the Lord will always go back to Him and say, Lord, what is on your heart? So not a fear that will draw us away from Him. Worried about what He's going to say, worried about what He's going to speak to us. But it's a relationship of trust. It's a relationship of respect. And then when He says go, we go. And sometimes it may not even make any kind of sense. But we take the step in obedience because we know what the Lord is saying. And then you may ask, but how do I know what the Lord is saying? And that will be another study. No. For sure, the Lord has given us His Word, and He speaks directly to us through His Word. But you also have the Spirit of God that speaks to you. And God may give you a direction, and when you are not sure if that is the direction God has given you, ask Him to give you, what do you call it now? Confirmation. Thank you, I lost the word. And He will. Because if God has called you to do something, He is not going to keep His confirmation away from you. He does. Of course, you're not going to have to ask for 10, 20 confirmations. You know, at some point it's going to have to stop. And it may not be written on the wall. You know, I had this thinking when I was, you know, before I met Christopher when I was a youth. I was so afraid of walking out of the will of God when it comes to getting married. So when I met Chris when I was about 18, you know, I was always waiting for that sign to come on the wall. You know, God, if this is your will, you know, put it in a, make it written on the wall so I know that it is. And of course, that was not the way that God worked. But at some point, you need to know, and then God gives His confirmation through other means. But we may not ask for 20, 30 of them. But if the Lord has spoken something to you, I don't know why I'm getting there. I'm getting sidetracked, but it maybe it's a word for someone. If the Lord has spoken something to you in your quiet time, or there is something within you that you just feel has been stirring up lately, and you're still not sure if it is the Lord, then ask Him to give you a confirmation. And you know, the confirmation may go through as you read the Word, but you also need to catch it. You cannot just say, but maybe it's not Him, maybe it's not Him. When He speaks, you need to catch it. Because otherwise we will be asking again and again and again, you have the same Spirit of God as I have. You know, and sometimes I experience as well that when the Lord has confirmed something to me, I'm in a discussion with someone, and somebody says something, they have no clue what I have been asking the Lord about. And I just sense there's another confirmation. Or somebody's praying with you, and there's another confirmation without them knowing. But when He speaks, we also need to grab it and go with it. Because that's the fear of the Lord as well. That when He speaks, we choose to go. We choose to move. And not just wait and wait and wait and say, but I need 10 more. Or I need everything to be clear before I make the step. Because that's the human way of thinking. The money needs to be there. The foundation needs to be there. The people need to be there. Everything needs to be in place. And then I'll go. But that's no fear of God. That's the logical mind. But we have to realize that just as God has spoken to people in the past, Abraham and Moses, it didn't make any sense, honestly. But still they went. Because it's the fear of God. And when we walk in the fear of God and we decide to go anyway, even though everything around us is just saying, okay, this does not make any kind of sense, we start to see how God moves. Because our life will always require faith. The element of faith. Amen? Lacking in the fear of God can lead to a Christianity that is more about me and my needs. And I'm in a feel-like-it kind of mentality. Becoming ignorant of the consequences of the different decision that the person is making without thinking of what God says about it. All of that may reveal that there is the lack of the fear of God. And what we also need to realize is that the foundation of the fear of God is that we are secure in the love of God. You know, in the context of what Jesus was speaking in Luke 12, He does not only end with the fear of God. He does not only say, fear God and only Him. But in the same passage, we find that He speaks about something. And that is the love of God and the heart that God has for every single individual. And if we read from verse 6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hair of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So in the context of telling the disciples, only fear God, don't fear death, don't fear whatever things people may be able to do to you, fear God alone. Because He is the one who will judge us. He is the one who will judge people to hell and heaven, depending on if we have Jesus Christ in our heart. But He will also be the one who will judge us as believers based on what we have done for Him. Not if we're going to heaven or hell, but when it comes to the eternal reward. But that same God, if He cares so much about the sparrows, if He cares so much about the different animals and provides for them, how much more will He not provide for you? So when it comes to the fear of God, the foundation needs to be right. We are not to fear Him as be afraid of Him, but that same God we are called to fear with a godly fear is the God who will provide for every single need of our lives. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be afraid of whatever things are happening at this moment. Don't be afraid of what is going to happen to your job. Don't worry about it. Of course, as the Lord speaks to you, take actions. But don't go around with worry and heavy heart. Because if God takes so good care of the sparrows that it was even of less, so much less value than you and me, how much more will He not take care of you? How much more will He not take care of you when it comes to work, when it comes to money, when it comes to your children, when it comes to this nation? I mean, we have so much to be thankful for that we can be in the nation of Singapore at this point and this time in life. Just that should be enough for us to stand up in the morning and praise God. So let's not focus on whatever things may or may not happen. Most of the things we worry about never happens. But let's allow the peace of God that is above all understanding. I believe Brian read that as well at the beginning. Let's allow the peace of God that is above all understanding to come and fill our hearts in Christ Jesus. Let's allow the peace of God, knowing that He knows the hair of our head. We would give up if we were going to try to count our hair. But even in the midst of whatever is taking place, we take precautions, but we should not bow down to fear. We are aware, we should keep up to date, we should be precautionary, take precautionary measures, but we should not walk around with a heavy heart and fear that makes us so worried that we hardly can, you know, get out of the house. I mean, when we look at the pictures from China with the people with the mask and you know, all kinds of things, you know, there is not a single thing left to be exposed to the virus. You know, it shows the fear of man because they don't know where they are going. But you and me, we know that when we leave this life, we are going to heaven. And we know that as we walk through this life, we have someone greater than anything else, a name that is above every other name. And that same God is the one who protects you and me, that walks with you and me, that heals you and me, that helps you and me. So there is a name that is above every other name, and that is the name of Jesus. And it's so important that we don't allow that fear and anxiety and worry to take a hold of our mind. We see what is going on and we ask for the wisdom of God. But we know that there is only one fear, and that is the fear of the Lord. Amen? And it's during this time that we can bring that same peace to other people around us. It's during this time that we can believe for people to be saved. It's during this time that we can share our testimony and what the Lord is doing in our lives and the peace that we experience. Amen? Amen. So it's my encouragement to us this morning. Because I know, I mean, I hardly have to start a conversation and it's about the virus. You meet somebody in the elevator and it's about the virus. But in the midst of those conversations, we can bring the name that is above every other name, and that is the name of Jesus. We can bring the hope that is above every other hope, and that is the hope that comes through Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. If I can get the worship to come up. Hallelujah, Father God.